Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. And he finishes that section by saying, knowing that ye are thereunto called. I want just in a few moments to invite us to reflect on this concept of calling. You may know that last week included the Saints' Day for St. Peter and St. Paul, and this time of the church's year is St. Petertide. And St. Petertide is the time, traditionally, when there are ordinations in the church, where people have examined their calling to priesthood and so put themselves forward for training, and Petertide is their time for ordination. And so in the parish today we will be celebrating the ordination of our sister Winnie as she leads her first communions both here and down at St. Saviour's, now that she has been priested. Now, just thinking about this word calling, it has, in the English at least, doesn't it, a variety of meanings. If we had the time, we could scour through this first letter of St. Peter and find probably seven, I could find, instances of the word call or calling or called. And we would find at least one of those being attributed to being named. I am called. Adrian is a use. And another is the calling out of somebody being called out. I've called to somebody to speak to them, as it were. But the majority of uses of the word in this letter are as in this verse, from the early verse of this chapter in the Apostle. You were called to be holy. You were called, he says in chapter 2, you were called, addressing all of us, out of darkness into light. You were called to suffer, to do good. You were called to repay evil with blessing. And then at the culmination of his letter, Peter writes, you were called to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, when he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. And so in this sense, a calling is something which is issued to each one of us. It's not something special for those called to be apostles, although that will involve a calling, or those in this day called to become clergy. And just in the interest of balance, if you do the search, which I did vaguely throughout the rest of the New Testament, you'll find that Paul also uses calling an awful lot. His own calling as an apostle was clearly very important to him. He needed to establish it from time to time. But also, he wanted to stress our calling as individuals by God. Do you remember that famous phrase from Romans 8? All things work together for good for those called according to his purpose. Just one example. It seemed to me, perhaps in the context of our gospel reading, where we learned of Simon Peter's calling, that it was topical, perhaps, to trace the use of the word in the letter ascribed to him. Now, it's likely that you are familiar with the accounts of the calling of the first of Jesus' disciples. Each of the four Gospels, all four of them, record the call of Simon Peter, albeit with different emphases. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the impression that I generally carry of these stories of the calling of the disciples, such as the one we've had read this morning, is a mix of both wonder and frustration. How incredible is it that on this lakeside, or by that tax booth, wherever it was, on so brief a contact, Jesus has so impressed his hearer, whether it's Simon or Andrew or James or John or Nathaniel or Levi, so impressed them that on the summons, follow me, they leave and follow. That's the wonder of it. That meeting, that creates such a radical demand and response? And how radical are those responses that they both follow and they leave? And that's the wonder. And yet the frustration is how little we understand of the context. How little we know about what they already knew, what they had already heard, what they had already seen that perhaps had become triggered in this moment. Now, our gospel today goes only a little way to painting in some context. We can see that in the gospel reading we had that Simon will have listened, no doubt, to what Jesus said as he preached from his boat. He would have heard what was said, and then he would have seen the miraculous catch of fish. The fish caught not during the night time when they would normally have been fishing, but during the day. All of this would have been in Simon's thinking, that he was with somebody who was particularly special. And had we started our reading just a few verses earlier in the previous chapter, we would have heard that Luke, at least, in contradistinction with Mark, but Luke records that prior to this event, Jesus had already visited the house of Simon's mother-in-law and had healed her from a fever. So it's not unfair for us to suppose that by the time Simon responds to Jesus, he has had some glimpse of what Jesus was about. And so in Simon's case, at least, and we have less information, for example, on Levi or Matthew, the tax collector, the decision to follow, the decision to leave, seems to be based on some inkling of what he was committing himself to. None of this explains the radical decision to leave everything. And we know from later conversations between Simon, Peter, and Jesus that, at least during the period of Jesus' ministry, is what the disciples had done. They had left everything. They had committed to leaving everything. Peter says to Jesus, "We have left all to follow you." Now, it's not to detract from that radical nature of self-denial and complete commitment to Jesus. It's not to detract from that to note that later Paul, in one of his letters, records the fact that Peter is one of the apostles who is traveling with his believing wife. Remember, we've probably just met his mother-in-law. So Simon Peter was married and his family, and yet that relationship was not left completely behind, we might record. And interestingly, if one looks at the calling of the disciples in Mark's account, one sees that James and John make the provision of leaving their nets and their boats in the possession of their father and their hired men. As if this time of commitment needed provision too. That's not to detract from the radical nature, but to recognize reality. So it's Petertide, it's a time of examining calling, a calling that each one of us in our time have responded to. It's a time for each one of us now to reflect on what we brought in to that event, to that time. Perhaps we were brought up in the church, perhaps it was something that we learnt from friends and relations, perhaps it was a sudden moment as if by the lakeside. Perhaps it was more or less radical. Perhaps it has had more or less radical consequences in the way that our life has been led. I want to invite us just for a moment to be quiet, perhaps to think back to the time that we believe that we were called out by God to follow, to leave behind. And let's offer with thanksgiving the influences, the people, and the consequences of God's call to us. Let's be quiet for a moment and make our own prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.